Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. I'm here with Connor Letourneau from the San Francisco Chronicle for part two of our two-part podcast. You can listen to part one over on Connor's feed, Warriors Off Court. He and I broke down in great detail all the options that the Warriors have with the number two pick in the upcoming NBA draft, whether or not they use the pick, who might be available there, or maybe they trade back. But that's only the first part of the Warriors offseason, right, Connor? The next part of it is whatever they do in the draft will help determine what they do in free agency. And that's what we're doing here on Locked On Warriors. We are going to break down the Warriors' options in free agency, some of the best case scenarios, sort of their plan A, plan B, plan C, etc. But again, if you want to hear our draft portion of the conversation, go over and head over to Warriors Off Court, wherever you get podcasts, and listen to it there. But Connor, let's start talking about free agency, because you and I basically decided if the Warriors have the number two pick and Anthony Edwards is off the board, they end up with Danny Avia or maybe some other wing. And I think that's safe to say. And I think the takeaway for the purpose, I guess, of this conversation is that they don't get James Wiseman. You and I have both reported that the Warriors are not high on James Wiseman. It's unlikely that they would take him there at number two if he were available. And so that still leaves an area of need for the Warriors out there. We know that they want to add center. Steve Kerr has basically said that several times over the course of the season. I think that they can add at least one center, but possibly two. And that's one of my team needs for them is specifically a traditional size center and maybe even a floor spacing center. If that one player is the same, then that's even better.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's going to be options at center in free agency. The obvious one being Marc Gasol, who I think can be both of those things.
Mm-hmm. I think you got Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, players like that that are going to be available potentially for the mid-level exception if they're maybe willing to take a pay cut. Could be guys that the Warriors could target. But before we get to some of these mid-level exception guys and these TPE guys, I want to talk about, if you're Bob Myers, what plan A is for the Warriors. I think it's pretty clear that plan A is you're going to at least call around the league and take the temperature on superstars like Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons, right? Do we think that any of those guys are realistic targets for this offseason before the start of next season?
I don't. I don't think that any of those guys are going to be available till next season, until we actually see how things progress. I think, you know, given where the Bucks are right now, how they've looked in the playoffs, they have a legitimate shot to win the title. We've said a million times that Giannis is not going to leave Milwaukee unless he's confident that he doesn't have a chance to win the title there. And Milwaukee's done nothing but show that they can put together a contender for him. So I think he, at the very least, is going to wait until 2021. But I expect him to stick with Milwaukee long term. So we can analyze that, but that's not even going to be a remote possibility for a while now. Right. And then there's several interesting things about Philly. Philly, you know, had a talented roster, big names on their roster. Their starting lineup looks like it should be as good as anyone's, but then they lay an egg and underwhelm and lose in the first round by Brett Brown, who I think is a great coach. It's just kind of a dysfunctional situation over there. Joel Embiid's voiced his frustration with the losing in the playoffs. So there's a lot of speculation over, you know, are they going to start shopping those guys? Are they going to shop Embiid, Ben Simmons, maybe even a Josh Richardson, who I know you love. And I think it's very possible, but I don't think that's going to happen until potentially they hire a new coach, they see how it goes, and if it goes in the wrong direction, then they'll start thinking rebuild mode. But I think given the names we've heard that they're looking at to be their head coach, their next head coach, they're still kind of in win now mode. So,
right.
And then I kind of think it's the same thing with Washington. A lot of people have talked about Bradley Beal, and they need how Brett plays with a healthy John Wall, who's missed the past two seasons and is on track to come back 100% or close to 100% next season. So if that doesn't go well, then maybe he becomes available. But of all the names I've heard as possibilities, I think Embiid makes the most sense, even though he's a slower paced big man and they like to run an up tempo offense, I think they could make that work. But like I said, it's not going to happen until next year. And as we talked about in our last podcast, the likely scenario would be that whoever the Warriors get with the TPE this offseason, that's going to hopefully be an expiring contract next year. If you're looking at someone like, you know, a Rudy Gay or a Kelly Olynyk or some of those other names that you've mentioned, that's going to be an expiring contract next year. And then you can dangle that to a team that's in rebuild mode to take on salary. And that would make the salaries, even if you're chasing a max level player, you know, pairing that with like an Eric Paschal, Kevon Looney, and then some draft assets.
Whoever the Sixers hire, and you're right, I think Embiid is the guy, or even Ben Simmons, but it seems like if the Sixers are going to pick one, it does make a little bit more sense to go Ben Simmons just in today's league. You build around the wing, not necessarily the center. And Embiid might want out. Like the Sixers, they're going to hire a coach and they're going to say, hey, coach, we're going to give you a chance to at least figure out Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and that partnership, because that's basically being unable to figure that out is what doomed Brett Brown. I don't know if there is a wrap. I don't know if there is an answer to that question, but that's only if that's based on the Sixers' preferred timeline. If Joel Embiid just says, you know what, this thing's never working, get me out of here. Like, I want to be on a winning team right now. I don't want to deal with a new experiment and a new head coach and figure it out that way. Then he could demand his way out of Philadelphia. Superstars run this league. He is a superstar. And if that's the case, the Warriors are going to be in position to get him because they have the Andrew Wiggins contract that matches perfectly with Joel Embiid's. They have these draft assets. And I think if that is available, they could very much look in that direction. But that there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of ifs in there. So let's
assume. Yeah, I actually think it'd be better for the Warriors' chances if Embiid didn't ask to be traded until closer to the deadline, because I don't see Philly wanting to take on Wiggins' contract, especially when they have like a Josh Richardson there already. And they're going to get good offers. So it's going to be a competitive market. So I think it would help the Warriors' chances if Philly waited.
So that's plan A, right? Is to get one of those guys, but it's probably not going to happen. So moving on past plan A, you've got plan B, which I think is using the trade exception and packaging that with the second overall pick to get a bona fide all-star player right now, not superstar like Giannis and Embiid, but all-star, you know, kind of guy. And you look at names there, and I've only got two, Connor. It's Drew Holiday from the Pelicans, and then Aaron Gordon, who to me is a very interesting player with the Magic. He's young. I think he's 24, 25 years old. Not really an all-star player, but has that sort of capability.
San Jose native. Right. Absolutely. In the backyard of the Merck, Archbishop Mitty.
Yeah. If the Magic were trying to move Aaron Gordon at the deadline, I still don't think that if they did move him, it would be for the number two pick. This is a Magic team that wants to compete. They want to be a playoff team right now. Even though Aaron Gordon's not a perfect fit there, trading him would be a step back nonetheless. Even if you were able to get the number two pick, that player presumably won't be ready to contribute the way Aaron Gordon is for at least another 2, 3, 4 years. And so I think if you're the Magic, you're trading Gordon for a player who just fits better with what you're trying to do, who's already established right now. And coming up, we'll talk about a few more options with the TPE. This is Locked On Warriors. So then I go to Drew Holiday. And the Pelicans have a very definite window right now that is based around Zion Williamson. And they've got, I think, their core three players that they're going to build around with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. And by the way, those guys are not available for the Warriors to trade with. I'm talking to you, my Twitter mentions. But Drew Holiday could very much be a player that he's an all-star level player. He can guard three different positions. He's unbelievable as an on-ball defender, unbelievable as a team defender, gets a bunch of steals. He can score. He can handle the ball. I mean, you're talking about literally a better version of Andre Iguodala here with Drew Holiday. It makes sense to me that if you're the Warriors, you at least call New Orleans, who is sitting there with the 13th pick, something about number two and something else involving the TPE, may have to throw in some other assets there for Drew Holiday and the 13th pick overall. If you're New Orleans, the number two pick probably has value to you because you're building around guys who were drafted in the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know the Warriors like Drew Holiday. I like Drew Holiday. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. But do you want to make that big of an investment for a guy who plays the same position as Steph? I know that you could find ways to get him on the court and he can play a little bit off the ball, but that just feels like a big investment in a guy who duplicates a lot of what Steph's already bringing to the table.
He's also 30 years old, right? I'm checking right now what his contract is, and he's got 2 more years left on his deal at $26+ million a year. So he would be maximizing your championship window right now. Like you said, you can find ways to get him on the court. You are giving up some size there. This is not Kevin Durant, Harrison Barnes era death lineup if you basically have Steph Curry, Jrue Holiday, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green. Now, in today's NBA, you can afford to give up some size. Look at the Rockets and what they're doing, especially if Draymond Green's your five. You have some leeway there. But you're giving up quite a bit of size, and you're doing it for a guy who's 30 years old, probably in the next phase, you know, not long for his prime. And in doing that, you're giving up a number two pick where you could presumably get a player whose whole career is ahead of him and could take you into the next phase, be the future face of the franchise, where Jrue Holiday is not going to be that, right? So I think it's something worth exploring. I do agree with you. It is a little bit too much to invest in a guy like Jrue Holiday. I think you can find other ways to manufacture that. And I think, honestly, you're hoping that Andrew Wiggins is going to sort of become that on-ball defender, that team defender. And I think that might be just a little too rich for the Warriors to do right now before seeing Steph and Klay and Wiggins and Draymond Green all on the court together before you try to add this other fifth element that can really blow things up there. So then we move on to plan C, Connor. Use the trade exception, not attached with the draft pick. So whoever the Warriors take in the draft, they have, you put them on the roster. Now they have this trade exception available. I've got, five guys who I think are realistic targets. Josh Richardson, who you would have to attach maybe a future asset to acquire. Kelly Olynyk, Rudy Gay, Justice Winslow, and Ricky Rubio. I think you're looking with those guys as high-level role players who can fill a position.
Is it just kind of random that most of those guys have Heat ties? Or
that's completely random. Who?
Okay.
There's two. Oh, three of them. Three of them. Yeah. No, but look, I don't know why that's a thing, but it happened. That's a fair call out.
Okay. I will say Wes has had the most in-depth TPE breakdowns of anyone on the beat, myself included. You've put a lot of time and energy into thinking about this. So, no, those are all intriguing options for sure.
Yeah.
I think the Josh Richardson one would be the most exciting for Warriors fans.
That would sort of be plan C1, and then you've got sort of plan C2, right? Where like plan C1 is get Richardson, plan C, and if the Sixers aren't blowing things up and not wanting to move off of them, then you move on to the Olynyk, the Rudy Gays, Justice Winslow's, Ricky Rubio's, guys who can all handle the ball in the case of Winslow or Rubio, Olynyk, who could be your floor spacing five, Rudy Gay, who could be your four and even a five. He's playing the five for San Antonio recently in the seeding games, at least he was. Can sort of unlock some interesting small ball lineups. But, you know, they're not perfect answers. None of them might be one of your best five players, but they all at least fill a role for you. And in the case of Olynyk and Rudy Gay, they're on expiring, and I think Justice Winslow, are on expiring contracts that you can use to stack salaries and maybe move for another player. So that to me would be what they would do. If beyond Josh Richardson, if we're talking about Olynyk, Rudy Gay, Justice Winslow, Ricky Rubio, who are, again, those are guys I think you can get without giving up anything other than maybe second-round picks and stuff like that. Who would you pick of those four guys?
Probably Rubio. I think Rubio can fit a need for the Warriors. I think he can be, you know, fill that backup point guard role, but I also think he's proven to be a better shooter than a lot of people thought he was earlier in his career, and I think he can come in and help space the floor. And, you know, be kind of, he's more versatile than people give him credit for. And he's proven, he's played at a high level for a long time. I think that would be a good fit.
I'd be between him and Winslow. It would have been Winslow easily because he's young, you know, and he is a great ball handler. I mean, he had a phase in Miami as being called Point Winslow, Point Justice, where he was basically their point guard. He was their version of Ben Simmons, but he could actually shoot.
You had a huge story about that back in the day, I remember.
I did, back in the day. Went to Miami, reported it, and I think he would have been an obvious fit there because he's also much better than defensively than Rubio is. He can guard four positions probably, maybe even five, you could argue. But, man, those injuries just stack up on him, and it just doesn't look good. It would have been one thing if he was able to make it through the seeding games healthy for Memphis, and he just wasn't. He never got on the floor for them. And that's a big question mark. So for the Warriors, you'd have to figure out the medicals on him. And in lieu of that, I would go Rubio as well. But one of those two guys I would probably go with. Rudy Gay is interesting to me because he would be the size as a small ball four for you that I think they could use. I'm just unclear of how they build around him or how they use him in conjunction with guys like Draymond Green and Eric Paschal. I think they look at Paschal as the guy who could basically be that version of Rudy Gay for them, just younger. And I think and you know, the best version of this looks like when they go small, it's Draymond Green at the five, Eric Paschal at the four with Wiggins, Thompson, and Curry. And I think they're going to give that a shot. So go ahead, yeah. Get Rubio or Gay or something like that. You've got an expiring
realistically,
contract.
Realistically, I think that Gay is the most realistic.
Same, yeah.
He's a guy who the Warriors have liked for a long time. He's friends with a lot of guys in the Warriors roster. They wanted him before he ended up with San Antonio. They weren't able to get him. And he's been really good for San Antonio. I know he's at the end of his career, but he's very much a helpful NBA player still. He'd be a plus defensively. And he can add that scoring burst when you need him to. He can kind of fill a little bit of that like Alec Burks role where he can, you know, dart to the rim and get buckets when they absolutely need one, which it's important for every NBA team to have a guy like that. And ideally a guy who's not one of your highest paid players who can help in that way. And he's older. So I think he would probably want another crack at winning a title. And I think that San Antonio needs to kind of wave the white flag a little bit
and
go off into rebuild mode.
He's 35 years old. He played really well in the seeding games, and that matters, especially compared to these other guys who didn't really. All right, there's Plan D, Connor. Plan D is not great. It's use the TPE on just bench guys. It's like, hey, Knicks, you want to give us Wayne Ellington and Taj Gibson for the TPE? Cool. Hey, Detroit, Tony Snell. Hey, Chicago, Tomas Satoransky. I don't even know if it's worth paying those guys the money. It might be. It's a real consideration to just let the TPE expire at that point versus use it on those kinds of guys, but it's an option. It's certainly an option that they would. So let's get through this and just say, you know what? And I agree with you. I think the most realistic thing is that they just acquire Rudy Gay. So let's just say they acquire Rudy Gay with the TPE. So you get the number two pick. You've got Rudy Gay acquired with the TPE. Now we're moving on to the mid-level exception. We still have that need at center, right?
Yeah.
They didn't get Kelly Olynyk. They didn't draft James Wiseman. So I'm looking at the top MLE targets. We talked about it before. Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. One of those two guys. If either of them says yes, it's easy. You sign them, you do it. Gasol, Ibaka, in that order.
Who would you rather have?
Gasol.
Yeah, I'd rather have Gasol too. I think Gasol fits them perfectly. Yes, he's a little bit slower, but he can stretch the floor. He shot over 40% from three this past year. He's not the defensive player of the year caliber defender he used to be, but he is very much a helpful defender. And I think he is a guy who you could potentially start at center and feel okay about it. I think a center rotation of him, Marquese Chris, and a healthy Kevon Looney is a really solid center rotation. And I also don't – and you mentioned earlier – maybe the Warriors should try to get two centers. You could potentially get like a floor spacing big on a minimum contract if you really wanted to, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you sign Gasol, you've got your floor spacing big and your traditional size big, right? Cause that's the thing about Gasol. The guy's huge, right? Yeah. And he's at least a body to throw. Like, he's getting older. He's not the defensive player of the year player he once was, but you're not — what the Warriors need a traditional sized center for is those, you know, one in every four or five nights where you're playing Jonas Valanciunas or Steven Adams or a player like that. And so if you're asking Marc Gasol to just step up like that once a week, once every week and a half, as opposed to every night, that's a big difference, right? And I think he's going to be able to handle that, especially if you've got some depth behind him, or potentially make the other team play small with Draymond Green at center. So I think Gasol's there. Serge Ibaka would also be a great fit. Not the passer that Gasol is, but a good, a proven three-point shooter, a proven rim protector, good size there. And Connor, there's a few more center options that I want to discuss, but first I want to talk to you about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions, but the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared, and that's why I always have a Built Bar with me wherever I go. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy and it fills me up while I'm busy, while I'm working, while I'm traveling, and with 18 amazing flavors, including new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and they're low sugar while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low carb diets. I'm on keto on and off all the time and mostly always low carb. No matter what, I have a box of Built Bars in my kitchen, stocked, ready to go, ready to eat whenever I need them. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Plus, you'll get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last, so do it quickly. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. One other name I like a lot for the Warriors, who reminds me a lot of Marcus Gasol, actually, is Mason Plumlee. And he's not a big name. He's not a title. He's not a championship-winning guy, but he's an excellent passer from the five spot. He's got that traditional center size. I think he would be a really good fit for them at the MLE.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But when I was in Portland, working in Portland, that was when Mason Plumlee was on the Blazers, and he was surprisingly skilled. Mm-hmm. He's a really good passer. He's better defensively than people realize. Look, he's not someone you want to be your starting center, but if he's playing 25 minutes a night, that's not a bad option.
No. You can basically be, you know, the Andrew Bogut of this team. Like, you can run offense through Mason Plumlee. Other guys that I have listed here, I just want to run through them, Connor. Marcus Morris from the Clippers. I think the Clippers are going to want to try to hold on to him, Grant, just because they gave away a first-round pick to keep him, and he's probably going to just stay there. Tristan Thompson from the Cavaliers in sort of what would be like a Dennis Rodman-type swing. Yeah. Let's talk about Tristan Thompson. You seem intrigued.
Well, I said it'd be interesting because he got in a fist fight with Draymond Green once. And I think a lot of guys in the league have made it well known that they don't respect Tristan Thompson. He's a good offensive rebounder, which the Warriors could use. And he can block shots and he can play his role offensively. I think he was being asked to do too much in Cleveland for a while. I think they needed him to play beyond his abilities. Mm-hmm. But he had flashes in high level playoff games in the past. And he's not that old. He's 27, 28. And I think he'd probably benefit from a change of scenery. I think people attach his stint with the Cavaliers now to all the Kardashian drama. And I think he might want to change the scenery. So not a bad option. I like other ones you mentioned more. Right. But
getting Tristan Thompson would all but end Kevon Looney's tenure in Golden State, right? I mean, everything you like from Tristan Thompson is sort of the same thing Looney brings to the table.
Yeah.
But it's Looney's long-term health is the issue. And Tristan Thompson doesn't have that issue.
Looney is such a question mark right now. I mean, apparently he looks good in individual workouts, but what does that mean? You know, right. Like, can he actually play an NBA game? He looked so bad last season that it's just hard to imagine him ever being the same player, but who knows? He might prove us wrong. He's still young.
He is. He's been dealing with injury issues for his entire career though. And even dating back to college. And I think if you're the Warriors and you're taking a serious look at the center rotation right now, you've got to really look at Kevon Looney's long-term viability. And there's a better chance than not. And look, when healthy, he's great. He's exactly what the Warriors need, but he's just not been healthy. And that's why, you know, you look at a guy like Thompson but boy, would Golden State fans have really conflicting emotions if you basically traded Kevon Looney for Tristan Thompson. That would be a little bit of a gut punch, I think, for Warriors fans. But moving on, just other names that I had. Jay Crowder, he makes a lot of sense for the same reason Rudy Gay made a lot of sense, but it just seems like the way Miami's using him right now that they're going to want to keep him, and he's probably going to be easy enough to re-sign. And then just names like Justin Holiday from Indiana, flexible guard, plays hard on defense, can make open threes. but may actually, you know, probably the top end of that MLE value, not necessarily a huge need for the Warriors when you have a guy like Damian Lee there. And then Aaron Baines, who Warriors fans know really well. Wouldn't that be a story if the Warriors found their floor spacing center and traditional size center in Aaron Baines at the mid-level exception? Of course, Baines is the one who fell on Steph Curry.
He was good for the Suns last season. Like, really good. Had kind of a career renaissance with the Suns last season, and I think he does a lot of things that the Warriors like. I mean, he's kind of your no-nonsense, clean-up-the-messes type center. Mm-hmm.
Break hands when he needs to.
Worse. I actually really he's an unrestricted free agent.
Yep.
I missed that one. Okay. Well, that's actually a really intriguing possibility. Of all the names that you just mentioned, assuming they can't get Marc Gasol, I think it's not a bad option to get like an Aaron Baines and then try to get like a floor spacing big, you know, on a minimum.
Well, I mean, Baines is a floor spacing big. I mean, he shoots threes. For Phoenix, and that's why it worked for them. And I think Phoenix is ready. Like, look, DeAndre Ayton took a step this year, and they're going to have to play him as their starting center. And Baines, they're probably going to have to let him go. And so this is a guy who could space the floor. I mean, he is like Brook Lopez light. And if you put him in that situation now, granted, I think his market could be even – he could be had at higher than the MLE. I think it's possible because everybody's looking for that sort of player. I mean, you look no further than
the – 35% from three last year, which is better than I thought. It was far above his career average. So if he can keep that up, I mean, he looks like he takes really good care of his body. That would be a fascinating storyline, given the fact that he's
the one. Oh, my God, the stories we would write.
Steph Curry.
No, but, like, you know, he's not a great rebounder. He's not really a passer. He doesn't have great ball skills. I mean, he really just – and I think there is very real limitations to what he can do defensively. He could basically be planted within 6 feet of the rim. But outside of that, he's not Marc Gasol level. He's not really even Serge Ibaka or Mason Plumlee level. So I think you'd have some concerns there that he wouldn't even fill that need that you have defensively. But between these guys, if it's not Gasol or Ibaka, I like Mason Plumlee slightly more than Aaron Baines. But then Aaron Baines would definitely be one of my first calls if I was Bob Myers. All right. So let's just say they end up with – who do you want to say they end up with? Marc Gasol or –
Marc Gasol. I think it's realistic for them to get Marc Gasol on the mid-level. I think he might get a little bit better offers than that, but given his age, probably not significantly better. And I think he would recognize that Golden State's a perfect situation for him and that it gives him a chance to win another title. So I think that would be best case scenario, and I think it's realistic. So
then you've really got now between the MLE – the draft pick and the TPE acquired player, you've basically used your three roster spots that you have available. And when I say three roster spots, they've got 13 players under contract right now. So you've got those two roster spots, and then you've got other, you know, non-guaranteed contracts that you can play around with, like Juan Toscano-Anderson, Michael Mulder. You could potentially move off of like a Kai Bowman or an Alan Smiley Geach if you want to create another roster spot. So I think, like, realistically, you've got three spots there.
Kai's also not guaranteed. So I think odds are there's a good chance that none of those guys are going to be on the team next year. And if they are, one or two of them's on like a two-way. But given everything the Warriors are trying to accomplish this offseason, it's just they're going to be really low on roster spots.
I think based on the math that I'm doing here, you've got one more if you really want it. Now we've got some minimum type of free agents available. And this is how we'll wrap up the show, Connor. I think they could still use a wing.
I think Glenn Robinson would be great on a minimum. And he might command more than that, given that he played pretty well this past season for the Warriors and for 76ers. But I know he wants to come back to Golden State, and he was really happy there. And I would not be surprised if he was willing to take a little bit less money to go back to Golden State. And, you know, he would be – a phenomenal, like, eighth and ninth man for the Warriors. He would be great, especially on a minimum contract.
I have questions about whether or not Glenn Robinson really would come back. I think we all asked him that question, and he said, of course, because he wants to keep his options open. But if the Warriors are loading up now, they acquired Andrew Wiggins. He was not there when Glenn Robinson was there. One thing that Glenn Robinson definitely wants is playing time. And I don't, even if you're an eighth or ninth guy, I'm not sure you're going to find it in Golden State the way you found it this last year with Golden State. So look, I think he's certainly an option. They're going to give him a call and maybe he can come back, but he's going to be on, if he's one of these guys signing for the minimum, he's going to try to find a place where he can have another Golden State Warriors type season before he got traded and sign that deal that he was hoping to sign this off season. But other guys that I've heard, Mo Harkless, I don't love that fit. I keep seeing that name pop up. He's not a good 3-point shooter. Good, decent defender. Could be one of these break in case of emergency type guys where, hey, we're playing the Clippers tonight. We need as many wing defenders as possible. Let's throw Mo Harkless out there. But a couple other names like that I want to throw out. Evan Turner, I like as a ball handler. Michael Carter Williams as a backup point guard guy who can defend a couple different positions. But here's one. Josh Jackson sort of reinvented himself in the G League this last year. Has a really high ceiling. He's a former Suns dropout, which the Warriors love. Josh Jackson is a guy who could be a low-risk, high-reward type of player. He was supposed to be one of these guys who can come in to the NBA and be a high-level defender, and that's sort of exactly what the Warriors need, not to mention he's a great athlete.
Yeah, and you know he actually played pretty well for Memphis when he played. You know, he played 22 games, shot average 9 points per game, 44% from field, 1.6 assists. He is still an NBA caliber player, and I think he is one of the many guys who fell victim to a very dysfunctional situation in Phoenix. Yeah, that would be a really interesting reclamation project, and the Warriors have been good at reclamation projects.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, the concern about him, he's different than Marquese Chriss in the sense that Marquese Chriss was the biggest knock on him was that he might have a little bit of an attitude problem. Whereas Josh Jackson's just straight up gotten arrested multiple times. You know, going back to college, and there's significant red flags about his character. Do you want a potential character problem as your like 13th, 14th man? I don't know.
Probably not. No. But it could be an interesting way to use this 15th spot. I think what one thing that they're going to do is they're going to invite some people to training camp, and there's going to be a competition, I think, for the bottom of this roster. And then, you know, you can potentially move off these guys like Juan Toscano-Anderson or Michael Mulder or Kai Bowman and convert those contracts to two-way contracts, right? Because they still have those two-way spots available to them. But look, I think we pretty much within, I don't know how long we've been talking, half an hour or so, done the entire Warriors off season. So I think that's been pretty good. If it was up to us, they would have drafted after this two-part podcast. Again, the first part you can find on Connor's Warriors off-court podcast. They draft Denny at number 2. So you're looking at Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and Marquese Chriss as your starting five. You got Damian Lee, Eric Paschal coming off the bench for you, as well as Denny Avia. Plus, you know, Rudy Gay at the TPE, Marcus Saul maybe as your starting center, or Mason Plumlee coming off the bench for you at that spot. And then maybe like a Glenn Robinson, Mo Harkless type guy as your 15th guy. Or maybe they just keep these Michael Mulders and Kai Bowmans and Juan Toscano-Andersons employed. Look.
That team, if they do this offseason, is that team a legitimate title contender in the West next year?
That's what I was going to ask you. I think they are. I do. You look at some, especially in the West where it is top heavy. You look at the Clippers and you look at the Lakers. Those are top heavy teams. I think the Clippers' depth is overrated in playoff situations. I think the Warriors are maybe the deepest team there. My questions would be, is that going to be good enough defensively? Does Andrew Wiggins turn the corner in a meaningful way? Can Denny contribute on that end? If you're able to do what you can with the center spot, I think that would really bolster that defensive unit. But you're going to need some significant development from those guys to go from one of the worst 5 defenses in the league to what you're going to need to be is probably a top 11 or 12 defense in the league.
That's the big question. And I think I can tell you right now with a healthy Clay and Steph, I think the Warriors have one of, if not the best starting lineup in the NBA. It's just the question to me has been, can they get 8 or 9 guys who you, or maybe 10 guys who you feel comfortable playing meaningful playoff minutes to? Because like, I love Damian Lee. Do I feel comfortable playing him meaningful playoff minutes in game 7 of a playoff series? Probably not. And I feel that way about several of these guys, even Eric Paschal, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so if they do everything we're talking about this offseason, I think you have those eight or nine guys that you feel comfortable playing meaningful playoff minutes. And I think that that puts you at least in the conversation. I mean, the difference between like an Eric Paschal and a Rudy Gay is Eric Paschal is not consistent enough right now to lean on in big high pressure moments. Whereas Rudy Gay, even though, you know, he's obviously doesn't have the upside of someone like Eric Paschal, you know what you're going to get from him. And that's, I feel the same way about Glenn Robinson. And I also think that given the state of everything with the pandemic and everyone's so money conscious, you might be able to get a guy on a minimum contract who's like a mid-level caliber player, you know, which is a win.
Right. Absolutely. And look, it might not be a situation where in the past you kind of knew your top seven guys, your top eight guys at the Warriors. You know, you had your starting five and you had Kevon Looney and Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston. That was just your eight. Those are your guys. I don't think that it's going to be the case for the Warriors this coming season. You might have to be a little bit more going 10, 11 deep, or, you know, have different options depending on matchups, right? Like if you do sign Mo Harkless at the minimum, he might not be able to play for you in a lot of series, but he's going to definitely be able to play for you and defend wings in certain series and things like that. So it might be more of a matchup driven thing like that. You might have to employ a little bit of a deeper bench than you had before, even if the, you know, your sixth and seventh men aren't high level, like Iguodala and Livingston were, but they're going to try to acquire those guys. No doubt. All right, Connor, thanks so much for joining me again. You can get the NBA draft portion of this two-part podcast, this off-season sort of preview mock off-season that we did. The draft portion is on Connor's podcast. You get Warriors Off Court. Get that wherever you listen to podcasts. This, of course, is Locked On Warriors. Thanks for listening. Remember to subscribe to new episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening and stay safe.